Well, folks, we are here for this week's culture segment, and I am very privileged to have by phone Dr. Tony Evans. Dr. Evans, welcome.
Always good to be with our friends at Focus.
Yay. Well, for those of you who don't know, and most of you probably do, Dr. Evans is the founder and president of the Urban Alternative. He also is the senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship down there in Dallas and a best-selling author, and has his radio program, The Alternative, with Dr. Tony Evans. In addition to all that, he is also the chaplain for the Dallas Mavericks and the Dallas Cowboys. So, you know, with obviously you just have nothing to do there,
yeah,
Dr. Evans.
Bored to death.
So that's good. That's good that you have time to, you know, carve out and chat with us so that we can finally give you something to do there in all your free time. So, no, it's really a privilege to have you. And I think our audience, this message within Kingdom Man and, of course, Focus on the Family has gotten behind it as publishing this book. But a huge potential, and the message is for young single men, I think, too, who are especially looking forward towards marriage and family. And you have been there, married how many years now?
43 years.
All right, 43 years. And so we always love it when we can get just men of God, spiritual leaders, to speak into the lives of our young men here. And we're going to do that today. So, Dr. Evans, the first thing I want to ask you is, especially in light of, you know, where you're going with the book, where would you say, I mean, there's a reason for writing this book, where and how has our culture lost manhood? Like, where are these guys struggling, and why has that come about?
Well, I think at the core of it is a biblical understanding of manhood is no longer being perpetuated in the culture. The breakdown of the family has certainly contributed to that. But we have a generation of boys who are growing up to adulthood who never learned manhood in the process. A biblical definition of manhood, of course, is a male who has learned to consistently operate under the rule of God in his life. And since that the rule of God has been eroded in our culture, the definition of manhood and male's responsibility under the rule of God has been lost. And so you're seeing that in a prison population that has men who grew up fatherless, dropout rates, and the dominant thing that we're seeing is the absence of men in the lives of these children, whether it's crime or divorce or men being passive and not taking responsibility. It's sort of like when God said, Adam, where are you? You're there, but you're not there. You're not fulfilling your role under God. And when that happens, when a man abdicates his role, everybody who's supposed to be following him is potentially in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly as you just alluded there, what would you say? I mean, it's obvious that our culture is not for men anymore, and I think that's been the past couple generations. We've seen that erosion. What are some of the biggest frustrations or fears that men face today? What are you seeing in the church? What are you seeing in your ministry?
Well, what I'm seeing is one is the redefinition of manhood. We see that with the gay rights movement, so that we've getting this amorphous definition of manhood. We're seeing that in our churches, where apart from certain leadership roles, women are leading in every realm, and we praise God for their gifting and their leadership skills, but it should not abdicate what a man is supposed to be doing. We're certainly seeing it in the home, with 50% divorce rate, whether you're Christian or not, with 40% of the males not being in the family culture-wide in the African-American community, 70% of the children are being born to single parents, then you do not have the generational replication of manhood and as the Creator intended it. And, of course, this is a spiritual issue because all through the Bible you see the enemy getting rid of males. And so because if you get rid of males, God called the men of Israel out three times a year, according to Exodus 34, to meet with him personally to tell them how to lead and then send them back to their country and to their culture to lead, because God knew that if men did not lead, the culture would be in trouble and they would not know how to lead properly and consistently and cross-generationally unless they came under his rule.
Yeah. Well, you have a chapter in the book that's called Claiming Your Territory. And I love what you say in that, because there are so many men today, even within the church, and it frustrates me, who are so defeated. I mean, it's a competitive culture. Of course, men thrive on challenge and in having someone to protect and provide for and lead. But they've been squelched in this. And so what's your call to these men to understand how they can claim their territory that God's given them?
Well, first of all, is to understand that the whole point of manhood is dominion. God says, let them rule, and he created the man first because he was supposed to lead out in ruling on behalf of God. But if you don't have that understanding of ruling under God for the territory that he has made you responsible for, then, of course, you will either not rule at all or misrule. You will not rule properly, and therefore chaos will replace the order that God intended. So God has a sphere of responsibility he's given a man for his personal life, for his family, in his church, and in the community at large. And each one of us is to fulfill his divine design in those spheres. But if you do not fulfill them his way, then, of course, you're out on your own and you're left to your own devices or what society dictates. And society's dictations today are very chaotic, nondescript, very passive. And so we're raising a generation of boys who are growing up to be men like their mothers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So very particularly, you have an application for this related to headship within the book. And we know that a lot of our ladies are going to read this book and immediately they're going to be like, Dr. Evans, that is not okay. I don't want any man ahead of me and whatever. And they're going to get all crazy. So let's talk about the real meaning of headship as you discuss it in the book.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I think when the ladies read it, they're going to actually love it, because
yeah.
The way we define it does not diminish them, because we make the point that they are partners in this dominion process. Mm. However, God has a order of governance. So when you say head of state, you mean the governing authority. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, Christ is under God, every man is under Christ, and a woman is under a man. That has to do with function, not essence of being. A woman is equal to a man in her being, but there are distinctions in their function. And what a man is supposed to do is to, under the authority of God, lead, protect, and provide for his family, which takes the weight off of the woman who has that kind of man to bear that load, allowing her to use her gifts, skills, and talents without having unnecessary burden upon her, because the man has taken the weight of the responsibility. So she actually becomes freer when she has this kind of man in her life.
Hmm. Okay. So can you, in light of that, and of course, many of the men in our audience are looking towards marriage and family eventually in their story, what are some concrete examples for a single man to live as a kingdom man while he prepares for marriage and family, or if he's maybe called to singleness for those few that are?
Well, first of all, let's start with Adam, because before there wasn't Eve, there wasn't Adam. So Adam was created as a single man. And as a single man, God provided him his calling before he satisfied the need for sexuality, because a man's first calling is not a woman. A man's first calling is the rule of God in his life, to which a woman is engrafted in. So Adam is our first single guy. But as a single, God gave him a job, because, you know, if you're going to be responsible for somebody else, you certainly need to learn responsibility for yourself. He also gave him his word. He says, from every tree of the garden you may freely eat, the tree in the midst of the garden you may not eat it. No woman is on the scene. But he gives him something else, and I point this out in the book Kingdom Man, and I love the concept, and that is he gave them the ability to name. He brought all the animals, and he told them to name the animals, and whatever he named them, that was its name. So he gave him authority. A man under God has legitimate authority to rule and guide and govern the things that God brings to him that he himself gets to name. In fact, God even brought the woman to him, and he named her. The Hebrew word for man is Ish. The Hebrew word for woman is Isha. He gave her his name because he was to take responsibility for her. So as a single man, until you are married, you are to learn the principles of living life under God's rule. That's why I'm excited that a lot of fathers are giving the book Kingdom Man to their prospective son-in-laws, so that they know what they are expecting of that man when they hand their daughters over to them. Because if you hand your daughter over to this kind of man, she's engrafted into a family where the man is first obligated and responsible to the living and true God as his definition.
Mm-hmm. So obviously this is ideal, you know, lived out within a family, a father passing this to his son. But in a culture where we see, as you said, divorce and fatherlessness and absent fathers, how can the church come around young men in order to support them in this? And where, I mean, I see a lot of the church, you know, failing in this, not picking up their young adults, not saying, let me guide you, let me move you ahead. We're all kind of caught up in our own stories. What's your call to the church in this?
Well, therein is our biggest problem. Next to the family, our second biggest problem is the failure of the church to challenge men. So like when my wife asked me to hold her purse for her, I do it, but it just doesn't feel right. And a lot of men go to church,
especially
but it
when
doesn't
it's
feel
pink.
Right, you
especially
know, because there's no challenge there. Mm-hmm. The church, men thrive on challenge. Men need challenge. Men beg for challenge. That's why football is so big, because it involves a challenge. The church should challenge men to raise up the next generation. When God said he'd be a father to the fatherless, he didn't mean a floating father of spirit in Neverland. He meant he would work through his men to provide surrogate parenting for the next generation, so that the boys in your church should not be fatherless if they're men in the church, because they should be challenged to bring a group of young men under them as they are under Christ and raise them up so that they are in fact fathered. That's why spiritually in the Bible, Paul can tell Timothy his son. He's not his biological father, but he's taken spiritual responsibility for him. And so we need to do that in the church, and then from the church to the culture, so that we raise up a generation of boys to become men under God and not just males undefined.
Okay. So I think there are a lot of guys in our audience, though, who kind of stereotype themselves or feel like they've been stereotyped. You know, they'll look at the book and they'll say, okay, well, you know, Dr. Evans, you got, you know, look at the guys that are into this. Look at the guys that endorsed it. Of course, Tony Dungy. Of course, Tony Romo. Of course, Joe Gibbs. All these guys are these alpha males. What about me, this guy in the church who's an artist or who's quiet or who's introverted or who's awkward? How can we call these men up to understand that they have a purpose with God, too?
Well, first of all, what God says to men is the same. He called all the men of Israel in Exodus 34, regardless of personality, history, background, class, race. He called all the men out and gave all the men the same challenge. Now, you may express it differently because your personality is different, but the principles that define manhood, you are obligated to, because that's what God says you are, regardless of what you think you are, what other people say you are. And that's where we got to start with the right definition. You know, God has spoken. There are two answers to every question. God's answer and everybody else's, and everybody else is wrong. So when you start with him as defining you and then align who you are, because everybody has a different soul, a different personality, underneath his rule, you are free to be you while at the same time being a man having responsibility for the territory that the Creator has given you.
Okay. Another thing that you talk about in the book, which I think is so important, is what it looks like for a man. Obviously, you're talking about these building blocks being in place with character and dependence upon the Lord and stuff. But you talk about a man aligning himself for impact. And obviously, so many guys want to make a difference. I mean, that is a calling of men. They want to have an impact. They want to lead. They want to do that. What are some hallmarks of knowing how to move in that direction to have impact?
Well, first of all, you gave the right word. It's alignment. You know, when a car's out of alignment, the wheel gets shaky. And we have a lot of men who are shaky because they're not in alignment under Jesus Christ as Lord, where they are conforming their lives to him based on his word. So the first and foremost thing is to make the decision to be aligned under the rule of Jesus Christ in your life, in every area of life, and stop bifurcating your Christian life where Sunday is totally different from Monday because God doesn't rule 7 days a week. So that's the first thing. The other thing is now to be in an accountable relationship with other men, preferably through the church, where you are being held responsible for the definition of manhood. That's why we're excited about so many men who are using the book Kingdom Men in their small groups, so that they can inform and support one another in applying these principles first in their lives, then to their families within the church, and then into the society at large. And then on top of that, what they need to do is to be using their gifts, talents, and skills that the Creator has given them with, and all of us have different things in those categories that God can use, and make sure we're maximizing those things for his kingdom and not just for our good and benefit. A lot of times we take the blessings of God and let them stop with us rather than letting them flow through us to others. When those things are in sync, then this man begins to live out what it means to be a kingdom man and not merely a male who may happen to be a Christian.
Right. Well, and that's so good. And I think that there are, you know, and this is kind of, you know, as we wrap up here, there are a number of women that are listening right now. And of course, they are all saying, we are all saying, I'm still single, I want to marry a kingdom man. I want to find a kingdom man. And you, Dr. Evans, guided daughters into marriage. For those ladies that are out here, what are the non-negotiables? What are the things that they need to start praying about right now, looking for, understanding that gets beyond this guy has an amazing job or he's funny or he's, you know, what are the hallmarks that ladies need to have on their radar?
The first thing, ladies, is you want to see that this man is willing to come under God's rule for his life. And that can show up in a number of different ways. You know, do you have to talk him into going to church? Do you have to talk him into praying with you? Do you have to talk him into to spiritual things? Or is he at least growing in his initiative in that area? Because people start in different places. I would give him a copy of Kingdom Man and tell him to read it and give you feedback on what he thinks about that definition of a man. And having read it yourself, you can get a feel for where he is and at least the direction he's pointed in. If he's pointed in the right direction, is willing to be accountable, then that's somebody who you can at least track and see whether that's just a facade or whether he's going in that area. And if he is willing to take spiritual responsibility under Christ, then that is somebody to seriously look at, because that is somebody who can be shaped by God and not just shaped by culture.
Good thoughts. And ladies, again, as we always say here on Boundless, get a godly man in your church, you know, a married man, someone older, who can act as a covering for you, who can act as a, you know, someone to guide you and protect you in this process, and make sure that you have women in your life as well who are speaking to you. And ladies, if you did hear the Kingdom Woman interview, you want to make sure, you know, review that one, pass that one on to your friends, because we talked about that with Dr. Evans' daughter, Crystal. Dr. Evans, thank you so much for your time, for your insight, for writing this book, for years and years of preaching on this topic and getting men, first of all, grounded in the Word of God. Just a huge ministry that we have benefited from. We so appreciate you.
Thank you very much, and God bless.
All right. We'll find out more. We will link to TonyEvans.org at our website. Again, the book is Kingdom Man, Every Man's Destiny, Every Woman's Dream. That's a big title. So that will be linked at our website as well. So we appreciate you, Dr. Evans, and all of you out there. Do get the book, and let's start this discussion.